To you about apostasy, and Jude changed what he was going to write about, and the same with me tonight. I was going to preach about standards and holiness, and I will be doing that, but tonight I couldn't help but think about something that's going on right now, and we preached on it many times, and I feel compelled to do it again, and it relates to what we sang about tonight, watching for the Lord to come back, being alert, being aware of what's going on. Now, I know many of you are watching what's going on in America. You know about America, you know about the way this country's been in captivity to the globalist and to the shadow government and to the deep state, and terrible things are happening in America, and we should be aware of that and understand those things, because believers should have discernment. We should be praying about those things. But we believers realize that the timepiece of the Lord's plan for this earth and for His kingdom to come to this earth is centered in one place, and that place is Israel. You and I ought to be watching what's happening to Israel, because Israel is the apple of God's eye. Israel is the nation that God has chose to give us our Savior. And not only that, to be the place from which our Savior will reign over the earth in His second coming. And I firmly believe, listen to me carefully tonight, I firmly believe that we are at the point right now that we are going to see prophecies roll off the parchment of the Word of God and strike the pavement of fulfillment. I believe we're already seeing it in the Middle East. And of course, in 1948, that was a super sign that we're getting closer and closer to Jesus coming back. And then in 1967, as I've said over and over again, the year I got saved, that is when Israel recaptured the old city of Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. And we know that the temple must be rebuilt and sacrifices must be offered by the Jewish people up there just before Jesus Christ comes back, as they'll be practicing their law and the sacrifices of their law. And God will be dealing with them in chastisement for a seven-year period, a final 1 7-year period, Daniel 9, 24 through 27. That was 1967. And there is another date that I believe is very significant, and it's October 7th, 2024. And that date, I believe, is a significant date to let the genie out of the bottle. And I don't think the genie's going to be put in the bottle. And though I watch headlines and what's going on, I'm not doing newspaper exegesis tonight. I'm not going to give you what I think based on the news is going to happen, but just give you the Word of God so you can watch and be aware of what's going on. You know, October 7th, 2024, you know Hamas attacked that concert in Israel and did atrocities on the Jewish people, and they still have hostages, possibly 100 hostages that are still alive over there. And Israel has fairly decimated Hamas. And I personally believe that this is a fulfillment of Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. I'll just quote verse 4 in Zephaniah 2 about what happened, because you know what happened when Israel did this and took these hostages, many of them into homes in Gaza and into underground tunnels in Gaza. And we believe Sinwar, the main leader of Hamas, is hanging with the hostages because he doesn't want Israel to take him out. So the coward that he is, he's hanging around these hostages to save his own neck. But you know, Israel has attacked Gaza, and the war has been going on since October 7, 2024. And in Zephaniah 2, verse 4, it says, "For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up." Now, by the way, these are cities in Gaza, Philistine cities in Gaza. Or we might say now Palestinian cities, who are the modern-day equivalent of the Philistines in Gaza. It says they shall be rooted up. I think that's interesting. It says they shall be rooted up. Because, you see, these people in Gaza, Hamas, and a lot of the Palestinian people who have an inveterate hatred of Israel being in the land and don't believe in the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they are underground in tunnels, especially the leaders. They're underground in tunnels, and Israel has to go into these tunnels and root them up. And I believe what has happened in Gaza to Hamas and to this war is a fulfillment of Zephaniah 2, 4 through 7. But Israel has just eliminated now the number two Hezbollah leader in Lebanon. How many heard about that in the news? Yes. And they also eliminated a high-ranking Hamas leader who was going to Iran and was in Tehran celebrating the inauguration of the Iranian leader, and he was taken out. Israel didn't claim it, but many believe it was done by Israel. And therefore, everyone over in Israel is now bracing for an Iranian counterattack on Israel. How many have heard about these things that I'm talking about? All right. Now, I feel compelled to relate my message to this tonight because I believe we're seeing Bible prophecy come to pass. And we're seeing prophecies that must come to pass. And I call these, along with Bill Salas, I got the word from Bill Salas, I call these now prophecies. That means they could happen at any time. They could happen today or tomorrow. In fact, it's rumored that tomorrow Iran is going to counterattack Israel for what they did to these two leaders of their movement, and they're not happy about it. You see, Iran is not only a country that's had a great empire, but they have proxies now in the Middle East, and their plan is to take over all the way from beyond the Euphrates River all the way to the Mediterranean Sea and have the revival of their ancient empire. And they believe in the Mahdi, and they believe in Muhammad, and he's going to rule and reign, and Jesus is just an underling, a lieutenant for Muhammad in their teaching. And they believe they're going to bring in the end times. So the clerics over there believe that. And so Iran has proxies. They've fairly taken over the nation of Syria, Bashar al-Assad. He's a proxy now of Iran. They've taken over the nation of Lebanon, and Hezbollah is over there, and they have over 100,000 missiles that can do horrible damage and make Hamas look small. And they are proxies of Iran. Iran has proxies in Hamas, which Israel has fairly decimated, I believe, fulfilling that prophecy we just read. But keep in mind, we're here in America, and Iran has proxies in the college campuses. They have all these Islamic groups that are study groups that have nice names to them, but they're really here to further Iran's purposes. And many people have testified that Iranian proxies have been pouring across our Mexican border that the Biden administration has left unopened, just opened up, not unguarded, I should say. And they're flooding in. And these people are now sleeper cells in America, just ready to wreak havoc here at the right time. Remember that Israel is called the little Satan. But can one of the men just shout out, what is Iran called? I mean, what is America called? I'm sorry. See? The great Satan. Israel is the little Satan, and we're the great Satan. And I believe that we are coming into momentous days, and this prophecy that I'm going to talk about tonight and touch on tonight is getting ready to be fulfilled. These Bible prophecies, listen to me, they touch on our Lord's soon return. All these things I mentioned from 1948 on are indications that we're getting closer and closer to the Lord's return. We're living in the last days. We're living in the Laodicean church era. And we are to be working, watching, and waiting for Christ to come back. We can use these things as witnessing tools for the Lord. I got saved in part through the prophecy of 1967 and Israel recapturing the Temple Mount and winning the Six-Day War. So I'm just saying that these Bible prophecies that touch on the Lord's return are like birth pangs. And any of you know about birth pangs, you know that they start apart. There's a pain, and then a pain, and then a pain, and a pain, and a pain, pain, pain. And they get closer together for a woman to deliver a baby. And these birth pains are pains in the Bible that tell us that we're getting ready for Christ to return and for him to set up his kingdom over the earth. But we've got to go through these birth pains. I believe there are birth pains that speak of the 70th week of Daniel. A lot of the book of Revelation is about that. Matthew 24 talks about that. Matthew 24, 4 through 8. These are birth pangs that are associated with the final 7 years. But I believe there are other birth pangs that are in the Bible that lead up to the 70th week and are prophecies. Ezekiel 38 and 39. How many have heard of that prophecy? Yeah, Ezekiel 38 and 39 is a birth pang. And what's that prophecy? Well, that's a prophecy of the nation of Turkey. Turkey's to the north of Israel and spreads over a wide area. By the way, how many of you know that right now Turkey has said if Israel messes with Iran, they're going to mess with us. And they said that they will stand with Iran. How many heard that? Yeah, that's in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Iran and Turkey are going to be together. And they're going to attack Israel together. And then there's another nation that said that we're sending help to Iran right now and they're backing Iran. And how, one of the men tell me what that nation is. It's in Ezekiel 38 and 39. It's a prominent nation. Turkey, Iran. What nation is right now helping Iran? Yes. Russia. Putin. Russia. Yeah, you should know that. That's in Ezekiel 38 and 39. But I don't believe that's a now prophecy. I believe it's coming very soon, but it's a next prophecy. First, these things must happen that we've talked about on October 7 in Zephaniah 2, 4 through 7. And these things must happen, we're going to talk about tonight in Jeremiah 49, 36 through 39. And these things must happen in Psalm 83 and Jeremiah 42, 2 and Isaiah 17, 1 and 9. These things must happen. And I believe they're like birth pangs. Once the genie's out of the bottle, you're going to see them. I didn't plan to preach on this tonight, but these prophecies are closing in on me, and I've got to talk about them. And why? Well, listen, when you see these things, look up, because Jesus is coming back. We're getting that much closer. I hope you're watching for Jesus to come back. I hope you're waiting for him to come back. I hope that you're hoping in him and he's your hope. Don't put your hopes in the things of this world that'll fail you. They're just things that can fail you. Put your hope in the Lord and his coming again. And so these are like birth pangs that get closer and closer together. I remember my wife when she was having one of our babies and she was up in the hospital. I think it was up in Tunkhannock. And my wife was having these birth pangs, and I was there in the room with her to help her. And I remember they had a machine there, and they had a screen, and when she had a birth pang, it would have a line like on a graph that would go on the machine, and when it went way up, it meant the birth pang was really intense, and then it would go out like that and then drop down again. And I remember saying, "Whoa, that's a big one." And my wife is, "Look away from the screen and look at me." Because I was watching the line on the screen saying to her, "Oh, that's a big one." And she said, "Help me." And, you know, these birth pangs are in the Bible and they're fulfilled prophecies. And they center on the nation of Israel. And the ones in the 70th week in Revelation, Jesus Christ, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And we've said what that means is, as we come into the 70th week of Daniel, these prophecies, which are birth pangs, are going to come to pass one right after the other. You might have to wait a long time for that period of time, but when that starts coming, it's going to come on you quick. Life comes at you fast. You ever seen that commercial years ago? Life comes at you fast, and people were getting hit in the head with things. And that's the way these prophecies are going to be. But I hope we can get out in front of them. I hope we can watch for them and not be discouraged by them and have patience to wait for Christ to come back. He's going to set these things straight. But while we're having patience and watching, I hope you'll be working for the Lord and realizing that the Lord's coming back and His reward is with Him. And so tonight we want to look at these. And I want to ask a question in this message tonight. Are you watching Israel and Iran? That's a question mark, but you don't have to raise your hand. But are you watching Israel and Iran and the prophecy there? Can one of the men tell me what prophecy that is? Where is that prophecy about Israel and Iran that comes before the second coming of Jesus Christ and leads up to it? Raise your hand if you know that. Where is that prophecy? What prophet, what chapter in the Bible talks about Israel and Iran and God taking out the evil regime in Iran? Matthew McCorder. He got it perfectly. He gets an A. Jeremiah 49 verses 34 through 39. We should all know that after all the time we've had on that. But let's look at it tonight. And I want to say just a few things. Number one, are you watching for Israel and Iran? So are you watching for the breaking of the bow of Elam? And look with me at Jeremiah 49, 34, and 35. I put Jeremiah 34, that's a misprint on there. It's Jeremiah 49, 34, and 35. Jeremiah, I'll read it, you follow. It says, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah, the prophet, against Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam. Now, you have to understand what Elam is. Elam is an ancient country mentioned in the book of Genesis. It's mentioned when the kings of the east attacked Sodom and the king of Sodom and other kings and took Lot captive. And one of the kings was the king of Elam. And Elam is a part of modern-day Iran. It's the western part of modern-day Iran. If you look at the whole country of Iran, you look at another nation that's bigger than the Elam part of modern-day Iran, and that is the nation of Persia that became a great empire. So it was called Elam. Part of Iran was called Elam, the western central part. And then the bigger part of it was called Persia. And then in the 1930s, when all these nations came back into being, and after the war, after World War I, these nations were divided up into their modern names, and Iran was given its modern name of Iran. Now, the ancient Elamites, which are part of Western modern-day Iran, were known for being great archers. They used the bow and arrow, and they would use flaming arrows to shoot at their enemy and bring their enemy into confusion. And you know what? That's an ancient fact, but it has come to pass that modern-day Iran has taken on these same characteristics. Because today, they don't have a bow like the ancient weapon of a bow. They don't have arrows like the ancient arrows. One of the men tell me, what do they have today that would be considered a bow? What would be the bow and what would be the arrows? Let's take the bow first. What would be the bow? Raise your hand if you know. Matt? The missile launchers. For instance, IBCM missile launchers. The nation of Iran, just so happens that in ancient Elam, which is the western central part of modern day Iran, they have many ICBM missile launchers where they can launch missiles. And they have the missile launchers and the missiles as well. And how many have heard that they are developing and very close to, we don't know how close, they're very close to developing a nuclear weapon. How many know about that? Yeah, and they then, once they get those nuclear weapons developed, they can put them on the tips of their arrow. Instead of fire, they put a nuclear weapon and shoot it at Israel. That is why Benjamin Netanyahu spoke to Congress and why Israel believes that the greatest existential threat to the nation of Israel today is the nation of Iran. And we read in the book of Daniel that there is an angelic being called the Prince of Persia, who's very powerful, who fought the Lord, who came to Daniel with a message, and it took him 3 weeks to get there because of this ancient Prince of Persia. And you need to understand, people die, Persian leaders die, and new ones come up, but the ancient fallen angel called the Prince of Persia is still over there. And he's influencing these people to hate and destroy Israel. And we know that's Satan's game plan. He wants to destroy Israel. But can I say something to you? Satan will never be able to destroy Israel. Amen. They are God's chosen people. And by the way, Satan wants to destroy you. If your faith is in the Messiah of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, he hates you because you have the Lord and his face in your life, and he hates the face of the Lord, and he'll try to fight you and to destroy you, but he cannot destroy you. Why? Because you're preserved by the Lord and protected by the Lord and sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. And that, now, listen, if you're not saved tonight, you don't have that. Listen to me, you young people. Make sure you're saved. I've seen too many young people in this church, and I'm talking to all you young people, listen up. I guess you'd be fifth grade and up. I'm talking to you young people. Make sure you know the Lord. Don't just have your parents know the Lord. Don't just have your Christian school people know the Lord and go through this church and then go out into the world, because we're living in the last days. I personally believe we're in Generation Z right now. Isn't that what they call it? Gen Z? Yeah, Gen Z. You say, what comes after Gen Z? Gen OT, overtime. That's about where we are right now. I believe personally, my definition of the end of Gen Z are people born after the year 2025. I take that as the end of Gen Z. Different people put different. But I'm just saying to you, we're getting closer and closer to Jesus come back. So it's close. So get close. Get close to the Lord and watch for Iran and Israel and for the breaking of the bow of Elam, which is the missile launchers over there in Israel. You say, well, Pastor, what does that have to do with what's going on now? Well, let me ask you a question. I talked about October 7th and what happened with Hamas. Does anybody know what happened on October 13th, 2024 with respect to Iran and Israel? All right, some of you do. Can one of the men tell me? Real quick, Joe.
All I know is that October.
No, April 13th, 2024, not October.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's April. Here's what happened. There was a launch of, I got it written down here. Let me tell you what was launched at Israel on that date. It's amazing. 170 drones, 30 cruise missiles, and more than 130 ballistic missiles were launched toward Israel and toward the Israeli-occupied Golan Heights, because they don't like Israel up there in the Golan Heights. Can you imagine that? Now, do you know why they did that? They did that because Israel had knocked out two of their generals. They had launched an airstrike on April 1, 2024, on seven Islamic revolutionary guard commanders, including two generals, and took them out. 2 weeks later, Iran retaliated with a barrage of missiles and drones and made that major attack. Now, you would think, boy, that would really have damaged Israel. But do you remember that 99% of them were taken out? That Israel had very little damage? God was protecting Israel. But interesting, some of the... Iran is a Shiite Muslim nation. Some of the Sunni Arab Muslims sided with Israel because they are against the Shiite Muslims. There's an inner Muslim strife between the Sunnis and the Shias, and the Arabs don't like the Iranians' attempt to take over the Middle East, and plus they're making money since the Abraham Accords by having peace with Israel, and they don't want that war, and so they actually helped Israel to deflect those missiles. The United States did too. And so they helped them to do that and to intercept those missiles. And that is all very interesting when you think of how that happened. So I'm saying, are you watching Iran and Israel? Are you watching for the breaking of the bow of Elam or Iran? Number two, though, are you watching for a possible preemptive strike on Elam? Now, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I'm saying the Bible speaks about a strike on Elam. That I know because it's in the Bible. So look at Jeremiah 49. I keep saying 39. 49. And look with me now at verse 35. It says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam." And notice this, the chief of their might. What's the chief of their might? These IBCM missile launchers. That's where they're strongest. And if they get a nuclear weapon on it, that would even be more chief of their might. But God said that's where he's going to break them. God's going to do it. And then it says, verse 36, and upon Elam, how's God going to do it? Verse 36, and upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them toward all those winds, and there shall be no nation whither the outcasts of Elam shall not come. Now he's talking about nations, and he's talking about wind and four winds. That tells me that there's going to be a coalition of nations, listen to me, that will strike the ICBM missile sites in Iran. And the goal is to knock them out and end the Iranian threat in the Middle East. I believe it very possibly could be Israel and some Arabs, like United Arab Emirates have been with Israel to help them when these strikes came. And that could be how it is. The United States could be involved in that as well. And you know what? We need to be watching for these things, because tomorrow it said that Iran may attack Israel. And, you know, I got to thinking about that, and this is not Bible, this is just me, but I got to thinking about that because I've been watching for these things for quite a while. And I remember June the 5th, 1967. And I remember that Egypt was a great threat then to Israel, and they closed the Straits of Tehran, and they've been threatening Israel for quite some time. And what happened then with Israel is they said, we're not going to wait and just sit here and watch them attack us. I couldn't help but think, isn't that the way it is now? Israel is just bracing for Iran to hit them again like they did April 13th. But I remember June the 5th, 1967, and the Israeli leadership said, we're not just going to sit here and wait. They'll hit us and take us out. And you know what they did? They did a preemptive strike on Egypt with Israeli jets, and they found the jets of Egypt on the air strips and knocked them out. And when they knocked them out, effectively they had knocked out the Egyptian Air Force, and they had no ability to bring their jets into the air. And in 6 days, Israel defeated Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Syria, all these nations in a six-day war. They were done. In fact, that impressed me so much. It got me looking into the Bible. I wasn't even saved, but I was always interested in these kind of things. I wasn't even saved. I was just 17 years of age, and I was looking into the Bible, and God got my attention, and that's how I got saved through that. So I'm just saying, are you watching? It could happen that this strike on these missile sites, which is Bible, it could be a preemptive strike that Israel could be doing. I'm just saying, I'm watching for the possibility of these things happening because there is a group called the GCC, the Gulf Cooperation Council of Arab States, and that includes the United Arab Emirates and some other Sunni Muslim countries. And these countries are concerned also about Iran and what might be going on in Iran. So you say, Pastor, what are you watching for? Watch for a strike of Israel and a coalition of nations from the air upon these missile sites in Iran. Now, what may be the result of this? And are you watching for that? Look with me at verse verse 37 of chapter 49 in Jeremiah. He says, "For I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before them that seek their life. And I will bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, saith the Lord. And I will send the sword after them till I have consume them, and I will set my throne in Elam and will destroy from thence the king and the princes, saith the Lord." In other words, God doesn't like Iran threatening Israel. He doesn't like especially the leaders of Iran that keep threatening his people. And God said he's angry about that, and he is going to use this to bring about the destruction of Elam, these missile sites. And I believe what's being described here is a nuclear disaster. Because when these missile sites get hit, they are also developing in Bashir and in other places nuclear weapons. And when they hit that, I believe fallout's going to go and it's going to spread, and it is going to cause such a problem in western Iran and central Iran that the people are going to have to leave the country and have to go all over the world in order to find help. They'll go to all nations of the world, the Bible says. We could be getting very close to this happening right now. Are you watching for it? There are believers in Iran. The fastest growing church is in Iran right now. They're getting saved. And these people are watching for this prophecy. I've preached on this. How many have heard me preach on this prophecy? I said that this is a prophecy that's got to happen. And I don't know all that's going to happen as a result of it. It could be that when this all happens, that Hezbollah, a proxy of Iran, Syria, a proxy of Iran, they may attack Israel to help Iran. It may be that in the United States, people will rise up to help Iran and hit the great Satan because of this. We need to be praying. We need to be watching. But I do know this, that this strike is coming, and I do know that it will happen before Ezekiel 38 and 39, and already you can see Ezekiel 38 and 39 is preparing. I do believe somehow this will lead to an inner ring of Arab nations that after Iran is taken out, somehow they will think they can hit Israel during all the problems that Israel's going to be facing, and Israel is going to be able to take out them and expand their land and get ready for the next round, which is Ezekiel 38 and 39. I'm just saying, the Lord is coming back. He's given us prophecies so we can watch, we can wait, and we can work for the Lord to come back. I don't know about you, but I know for me, a lot of my life is watching, looking, longing for Christ to come back. and living for Him, not defeated, but victorious. Because just like He takes care of Israel, even though they're in unbelief, how much more would He take care of you? A believer in His Messiah. And you can hope in Him, trust in Him, serve Him, tell people what's going on ahead of time, because Bible prophecy, when it happens, gives glory to God that fulfilled that. All right, let's bow for prayer. We've been talking about Bible prophecy, and I've been asking you, are you watching for Christ?